Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Andre, this has got to be one of the most anticipated new vehicles of the year.
Of the decade?
Maybe the decade. And today we're going to do a very deep dive on the new Toyota 4Runner.
Yes.
Because Andre and I just came back from California, where we went hands-on.
We did.
Sticky hands-on.
We did. This is super exciting. All new 2025 Toyota 4Runner. You and I got to see it for almost 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Because Toyota was very specific, because everybody had about 40 minutes with the truck, because there were hundreds of journalists there.
Yeah, and you know I stole the snorkel?
Wait, you took a snorkel off of it?
I did, yeah. I got it on the plane, yeah. No, I didn't steal the snorkel. We're going to get into that, because there's a new model called the Trail Hunter,
yes.
Which obviously is kind of working its way through the whole Toyota lineup.
Right.
And so if you guys love your 4Runner, and you want to know all about the new one, you've come to the right place.
Yeah, because there's a lot to talk about, right?
Oh, so much to
discuss. Because how does it fit in the rest of the lineup? There's also the Land Cruiser. There is also, you know, the Lexus lineup. There's also the Sequoia. Most of them have, you know, similar chassis and similar features. So how does this all fit together?
Toyota has a cornucopia of riches, Andre,
cornucopia
of riches when it comes to off-roaders. So let's just deep dive, and let's not keep these fine car enthusiasts and truck enthusiasts waiting. And let's start by talking about the old one. Because in order for us to kind of explain what changed, we need to talk about the current generation before we go in the new generation. Now, I know for a lot of you who have one, that may seem boring, but maybe we'll share some insight that you weren't aware of. Like, for instance, that the engine and the transmission didn't get along.
Well, but they were also tried and true. So the current 4Runner 2024 that's going away soon, right, has a 4-liter V6,
yeah,
which dates back to, I think, when Tommy was in middle school, maybe 14, 15 years ago.
2009, I want to say.
Yes. So, and also 5-speed automatic.
I can't think of any other 5-speed vehicle for sale in the last 5 years.
At least auto.
Yeah.
Because everybody went to 6, 8, 9, or 10 speeds.
Can you think of one 5-speed that has been sold in the last 5? I can't think of one, except for the 4Runner.
I think I know.
Right.
I think the Dodge Journey, one of the original Dodge Journeys, may have had a 5-speed.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your car. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your car, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your car hassle-free and fast, go to tflcar.com and click Sell Your Car in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
Yeah, let us know in the comments below. I'm not going to disagree with that.
We're not talking about manuals. We're talking about automatic transmissions.
So here, when I said they didn't get along, I mean, they did get along, like, you know, like when you were back in high school, because that combination was so ancient and so thirsty. And for all of you, you know, fans of the 4Runner, you'll probably be screaming at your speaker or
your
earphones
phone
and saying, "I love my old 4Runner."
Actually, they sell hundreds of thousands of them a year.
I know. And I would counter, old shoes are comfortable, Andre, but yes, they stink.
Ooh. Ooh. Well, okay. By the way, our very own Grant,
as a
foreigner,
yeah,
this current generation. And there's some charm there. Why? First of all, reliability, right? That V6 has been around for many years. The 5-speed automatic has been around for many years. Also, it's built in Japan. So a lot of people kind of look at that and say, you know, this is kind of the where Toyota quality comes from, right? And a lot of people love the current Forerunner.
Yeah, and I see that. So I got to overland it a couple of years ago. I went from Moab, overland, taking non-highways, non-main roads, dirt roads, all the way to Telluride.
Okay.
And
I think I remember that. Yeah. I wasn't there, but yeah.
We camped. And it is lovable. I'll grant you that. I mean, there's just something tried and true. And I remember getting behind the wheel of one and thinking to myself, this feels so familiar. This feels so comfortable. This feels so appropriate. But after a while, dude, technology moves on. And I get Toyota's reputation for reliability, and I get that they want to stay tried and true. But now you're looking at a world of brand new Broncos. I mean, even the Wrangler JL, right? And these vehicles are now turbocharged. And as you know, turbocharging is a big thing. They're now hybridized. The Wrangler has a plug-in hybrid where you can go up to like 30 miles on all electricity, not to mention the Rivians of the world.
Yeah.
It just felt like, you know, this was still living, when I was in high school.
In the last decade.
Yeah.
Or previous.
Because you figure if it came along, and I could be wrong, in 2009, it was designed in like 2000.
Yeah,
earlier.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it takes a long time for Toyota to actually get the design and get the engineering all buttoned down. And also, I want to go further back because it's been 40 years since the 4Runner introduction. So 1984 was the first 4Runner, which was based on a pickup, actually, right? They put kind of a wagon body, partially removable.
A cab,
Like a cab on top of it. Mm-hmm. And
those are cool. I want one of those.
Yeah, and they also had turbo models, remember?
Yeah.
They're like unicorns.
Did those have the R22? I think those had the R22.
Yeah.
It goes that far back, yeah.
And those were the bulletproof engines,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's where the 4Runner comes from.
Yeah, and you know the other great thing about the old 4Runner, well, there's some good and bad things. A great thing about it was that the aftermarket world had certainly figured out how to customize it. So my friend James, for instance, you know, he's got a built-out one, and he was always complaining about the fact that there's so much going on in terms of like the way that the lines intersect on the front of the current model.
Yes,
that it's hard to actually cut a front bumper for it that looks like it integrates with the rest of the design. Now the new one, you had an interesting meme. What was your meme that you sent me?
I did not generate this meme.
But you saw it, yeah.
The new one, because of the lower grill and the upper grill, looks like a double Hulk Hogan.
Mustache.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's got like two mustaches.
Two mustaches on top of each other.
I know, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So let's start with what they've improved. And I really think they've improved it a lot. So obviously, we haven't driven it. And we don't know a lot about its fuel economy, but we can take some intelligent guesses, mainly because, and I think this is fair to say, from the B pillar forward, it's
a Tacoma.
Yeah, except for the nostrils. The Tacoma has the nostrils.
So
they got rid of the nostrils on the 4Runner.
So first, before we talk about what's underneath,
let's
talk a little bit more about the exterior styling.
Mm-hmm.
We did several renderings ourselves because building up to this, we knew it was coming.
Yeah, we took AI, we took it to Tacoma,
and
decided to stick a back on it.
Stick a back on it, and our very own Alex Lightman has really been working with AI, and we came up with several different, I would say, really interesting renderings. Of course, what we see here is official now. This is Toyota design team, and my one complaint is that before you can really tell a Tacoma from a 4Runner, from, I don't know, 100 yards away, you could see the front of a Tacoma, and the headlamps and the grille design were such that it looked really different from a 4Runner. Now, if you put two of them side by side 100 yards away, you probably won't know which one is which.
Especially for the front.
Yes.
If you don't notice the nostrils, right? Basically those little like indents.
So I don't know. Do you think it's a big deal? It's a big deal to me because I want a little bit more differentiation.
So we did get hands-on with three models. Let's be clear about that. We got to look at the up and close about the TRD Pro, the new Trail Hunter, and of course the Limited.
Yes.
And I think the one thing that we missed, Andre, and that we didn't get right in our AI generated was the rear window. So that was a surprise, right? The rear window has this design where it goes
into the roof.
Into the roof, exactly. And I think that's a good look, you know?
Yeah, and it kind of harkens back to where the 4Runner came from, right? The original 1984 4Runner had kind of sort of similar design where the rear glass almost seems like it's going back into the roof.
Yeah, and they did keep something that people really love, and that is the glass that goes down at the rear of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And then they put two little arrows up and down next to the handle, so now you can operate the glass from the outside, which I think is very handy, not just the inside of the truck.
Yeah, so you can control it in multiple ways, of course, inside, outside. And I think that was a feature that a lot of people appreciated. First of all, for ventilation.
Yeah.
I mean, we live here in Boulder, Colorado. I went to school here. I remember many of my friends in college and high school had older 4Runners and just wind in your hair, right? Okay. Lowering the glass, driving, and with the sunroof open and the rear glass open, lots of air coming through. And also you can put long items in there.
Yeah.
Pieces of wood or your surfboard or whatnot.
And then the other kind of controversial bit of styling is not the front. People kind of expected that, but it's a tail. Some of the people did not like the lights. I was reading the comments, and they weren't, like, impressed by the lights. But I think the lights are fine. I mean, you know, to me,
it's still kind of 4Runner-ish.
Yeah. I think that's fine. And then something that we did notice immediately, which is we talked about this, and it's still kind of odd, is that the regular 4Runner has obviously the same off-road four-wheel drive as a Tacoma. So you have a choice of four high, four low, and two high.
Yes, full-time four-wheel drive.
Except the Limited gets that.
Uh-huh.
And the reason that is important is because, well, I'll tell you why it's important. So I owned a my wife and I owned a third-generation 4Runner.
Uh-huh.
And we had that same system, except it wasn't the little selector switch, which rotates now, but it was a big like lever.
Yeah.
And this was when Tommy was young. He was like 2 years old, still in his baby seat. And we were going up over Swan Mountain Pass, and this is in the high country of Colorado. And it was about this time, but there was ice on the road. My wife didn't see it. And because when you put it in four high, it will crab. In other words, you can't really what you're doing is you're locking the wheels together at the same speed. And when a vehicle goes around a corner, obviously the outside wheel has to travel farther, so it spins faster. But when you lock them down, you can't do that. So the thing has to kind of, it's called crabbing, but it loses traction based on the tire contact patch. And my wife, because of that feature, and it's also hard to turn the vehicle, doesn't want to turn. And because of that, my wife had it in too high, and she's going around a corner, and next thing you know, she had done a full 360. And that was the end of that truck. Seriously.
We went
and bought a Volvo V70.
All-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive the time. So I don't understand why they didn't go with all-wheel drive.
All the time.
All the time. And if you think this is something new, we recently bought we're doing a new kind of off-cheap truck series. I think we're going to call it Go Big Again.
Yep.
So we're using like 90s SUVs, and we recently bought a 98 Tahoe.
Yep.
That has a 4Auto.
It does. So that was 26 years ago.
Yeah.
GM was using automatic 4-wheel drive.
Yeah, so basically it just sends power to whichever wheel has traction. It doesn't crab. You don't need to think about it. You don't need to switch from, you know,
four high to too high.
Too high. It just does it, and you're golden. And I say that because the competitors have that. So, you know, the Bronco has it. Most trims.
Yes.
The Wrangler doesn't have it.
But in some trims it does.
In some trims it does, yeah. But in the Toyota, the only time you get it is in the on-roading Limited.
Which is the premium one, which you have to pay more money for, obviously.
Yeah, so I would have loved to have seen that on all their trims.
I would assume it's kind of component cost. I mean, maybe some accountants at Toyota are winning some of these battles. Or maybe reliability, right? It's hard to know exactly.
98 Tahoe had it. It's not something that hasn't been around for as long as we've been around, Andre. And I don't know how much it costs, you know, to do that, but I don't think it's very expensive. Now, unfortunately, we don't know pricing yet.
No, but we can guess.
We can take an educated guess.
So the current one starts at just under $41,000. That's for the current generation, fifth gen. Now the sixth generation one, this new one, 2025 model, I'm assuming is going to climb just a little, right? Because it's a new model, inflation, yada, yada, yada. So what would you say, 42?
Couple grand, yeah. Okay. You know, what they'll do is they'll play the shell game. Oh, sorry, Toyota. I mean, they'll give you more options, but they'll make the price higher.
Many manufacturers do this.
Yeah, it's not just Toyota. What they say is, we've raised the price,
but we give you more.
We've given you more, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
At least cruise control is included.
Sorry. Yeah. You'll never live this down.
Latest.
We need to get a T-shirt for that.
Cruise control included. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. That should be a good TFL T-shirt. Now with cruise control.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, that's because, look, Toyota does their safety sense. I think it's 3.0 now.
It's now 3.0.
So I love that the Japanese brands are having this kind of arms fight with safety tech. And I wish the Germans and Americans got on board with that too. But everything like blindside monitoring.
Adaptive cruise control systems.
Autonomous braking.
Collision avoidance.
Yeah, it's all included in the loneliest, lowest models. Thank you, Toyota. That is just wonderful. And thank you, Honda, for doing it as well. Yeah, and Nissan
Kia
as well.
And Hyundai do that. Yeah. That's really good.
And boo to you, Germans and Americans, that make you pay for...
Cruise control.
Yeah, exactly. No, like blindside monitoring. Come on. Actually, blindside monitoring isn't included sometimes. I don't think that's part of...
But TSS 3.0 has it.
Has it? Okay. Yeah, right. Boo to you.
Anyways,
keep our families safe out
so
there.
So we think the price will climb a little bit. But now let's look under the skin a little bit.
Wait, hold on. Before we say climb a little bit, that's starting. How much is a current TRD Pro?
56.
And how much is a current TRD Pro when the dealer gets their hands on it?
I don't want to talk about it.
66.
That's unfortunate. Still? They're marking them up still?
That's what they were. They were 10K over sticker for the longest.
Okay, wow.
And you know these are going to go over sticker.
Unfortunately. At least the first ones probably.
And this is where I'm going to point the finger at us. And by us, I don't mean TFL. I mean us as buyers. Because look, the manufacturers are in a tight place. Because when the dealer marks it up by $10,000 and you guys buy it at over $10,000 or we buy it at a dealer markup, then that's money that Toyota has left on the table.
And they see that.
So you know, somebody up at Toyota headquarters is saying,
oops,
why should we... Lose money and enrich our dealers when people are willing to pay it. So if you don't want to see things marked up over sticker, wait.
Don't pay it.
Yeah. So it's going to
look nationwide. Yeah. Look at another dealership.
And then in terms of the difference between the TRD Pro and the Trailhunter, we don't know. We don't know if one will be more expensive, which one will be less expensive. What I can tell you is that the Trailhunter comes with a compressor.
Air compressor.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We saw that. Yes. Yeah, in the back there's a compressor and hoses, which is good.
And hoses.
Because a compressor without hoses is useless.
Yeah.
So you can use it to basically air up. And this is, Aztec had a compressor, okay? So let's once again, not
the first one.
Not the first one.
The Hummer H2 had a compressor.
Of course. But you can use it to air up and air down tires, mattresses, giant ducts if you want to go...
Maybe your paddle board.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a paddle board.
I think it's nice though. I think it's very, you know, because we have a lot of compressors. We use ARB, but inevitably we leave them at the office when we go out on the trail. And I'm like, where's that compressor?
Oops, it's at the office.
It's at the office. And this way you'll never forget it.
Right. So the Trailhunter is a cool, really, really, I think, useful and good looking. I think it's a good looking trim level. It's a little bit more meant for overlanding and crawling, right? It has really beefy skid plates underneath, really strong side rock slider.
So I want to say the suspension is old man emu, mm-hmm. whereas the TRD Pro is Fox.
Yes.
But they're both the same reservoir shocks.
Yeah, piggyback reservoirs or remote reservoir shocks.
And keep in mind, we didn't drive these vehicles, so we don't know how they drive. But we can take a pretty good guess at it based on the Tacoma. Once again, from the B-pillar forward, it's pretty much a Tacoma.
It's a Tacoma.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes sense that they're reusing a lot of engineering, right? They're reusing the powertrain. So the 4Runner will have two versions of the powertrain when it launches. And they say it launches later, like in the fall of this year. It's going to have a non-hybrid version, which is a 2.4-liter turbo engine, basically identical to what's in the new Tacoma, or the hybrid version. And the Trail Hunter and the Pro, you basically have to buy the hybrid.
But go ahead.
Because it's the top trim level, and you get more horsepower, lots more torque, and also, well, regen braking in some circumstances. And you also get air compressors and inverters that are higher voltage or higher
voltage. And what else do you get, Andre? You get a porky vehicle.
It jumps you get up a lot of weight.
You get, what, like 500, 600 more pounds because of the battery?
Not just the battery. It's the electric motor. Yeah, everything.
The motor is pancaked in between the transmission.
And the engine,
And then the other thing we can talk about is that certainly in the Tundra, the hybrid is not meant for fuel economy. It's meant for torque and power.
Yeah.
So if you're expecting the hybrid, like which many people would, to be like a Prius, you're probably going, barking up the wrong tree. It's going to be more for having, more power, more towing potentially.
Do
we know towing numbers?
They said 6,000.
Okay.
So it's actually a little bit better than the current 4Runner. But they have to really compete, like you said, in a more competitive segment, right? They have to increase a lot of their numbers up, and they have. We still don't know. You and I showed the sticker in the last video where we did the video. You can check it out at oldtfl.com. And it was under 900 pounds. But, and it created a little bit of controversy because people said, but it was a prototype, Roman.
Yeah, okay.
So we can't make a final judgment quite yet.
Or we could say something, though.
What?
So we had that Grenadier. By the way, we sold the Grenadier.
Ineos.
Yeah, we moved it on because we did every video we could with it, and we need to take that money and put it into something else, like the Ranger Raptor that we just bought. But I think I can solidly make the statement that it won't have the 1,500-plus payload
of a Grenadier.
Yeah.
But it still has a massive frame. It's still a body-on-frame vehicle. And now
it also won't cost $80,000.
So we are guessing between what, $42,000 and $60,000 potentially.
All right. Well,
that's my guess.
So let's get to the great news, which is in the Tacoma, that four-cylinder turbo is a game changer.
Yes. We know that for sure because we own one.
Yeah. We drove it all the way from Texas. We've taken it to Moab. We have off-roaded it.
I just checked the odometer.
Yeah.
6,000 miles.
In less than 2 months.
In 2 months.
Yeah, we've driven the balls off of that thing. And that engine is a gem. First and foremost, I know a lot of people are like, well, turbos are not exactly reliable. And I'm like, yeah, back in the 80s, when they stuck a turbo on a regular aspirated car, but new turbos are completely integrated, completely designed with the vehicle in mind. So they're cooled, computer controlled, and it's a complete game changer, especially here at altitude, where like the old Tacoma, if you were driving it up the iGauntlet, it would be like,
right? it just might hunt gears. Yeah.
The new one with that eight speed, it just the torque comes on at what, 100% torque comes on at 1400 RPM?
1700. Which is still like a diesel.
Yeah.
It's really diesel quality torque.
It is.
Yeah.
And the fuel economy actually on ours is pretty good. I mean, we're getting like on the highway like 23.
Yeah. We actually showed with no camper, because we put the camper on it. With no camper, we showed 26 mpg. With a camper on our highway test, we showed 23. And Tommy and Cole recently went to Moab and they showed about 20.
Yeah.
Over mountains. So it's actually really good real world economy.
Yeah. And the other thing that I love is that new 8-speed because it seems to always be in the right gear as opposed to the old generation, which always seemed to be in the wrong gear. And it's just quick, dude. That thing is quick.
Yeah.
In two-wheel drive, it will chirp its tires if you floor it.
Yeah, and so the numbers on paper may be deceiving.
Yeah.
Right, so 278 horsepower and 317 pound-feet of torque, if you compare it to some other trucks, may not sound impressive. But in the real world, it's really actually really good.
I actually think that, you know, we didn't want to wait for the hybrid to come out. But in the Tundra, I didn't miss the hybrid. And I kind of feel like once we actually get behind the wheel of the Tacoma hybrid, I won't miss the hybrid either.
Yeah, we still have to do more testing.
Of course, we got to drive it. Yeah.
And well, but that, by that, I also mean I want to actually put it on the drag strip, the non-hybrid versus hybrid.
We'll do that.
And see what the actual differences are.
Or more importantly, on the Ike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see how it goes.
If the efficiency is different, if this, you know, if the smoothness is different, you know, how does it work?
So let's talk about seat comfort. Very comfortable.
The Tacoma is much improved.
Yeah.
And so it was the same with the Foreigner.
Yeah, we sat in it. The only surprising thing I had was it's a little bit longer, right? You said it's like 2 inches longer?
So they stretched the wheelbase.
Okay.
So the current fifth gen 4Runner is around 109 and a half-ish inches of wheelbase. And now it's 112.2. So it's almost, 2.5 inches longer. By the way, I like to say this story because 112.2 inches, it's 2.85 meters. Did you know this?
No. I'm hearing it for the first time.
2.85 meters is kind of the perfect wheelbase, according to Toyota engineers, for off-roading and having space inside. Because the 100 series Land Cruiser has the same wheelbase, 200 has the same wheelbase, 300 has the same wheelbase. 250, the Land Cruiser we're getting in the U.S., also has the same wheelbase.
So you might be thinking, why not just buy a Land Cruiser? We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah,
so let's stay with the 4Runner.
So they made it a little bit longer.
Yeah, we haven't forgotten about Land Cruiser.
But you sat in the back seat. What happened in the back seat?
It's tight. For me, I'm 6'2 and, you know, 237 pounds this morning. Yeah. How much you weigh?
That's good. A little bit more.
Well, you're 6'3.
Yeah.
It was tight. And then, not hugely tight, but coming. Okay. So once again, it's all a matter of perspective, right? I am coming out of the Ineos, which is a much bigger vehicle. And so it's not fair to compare that. But the one thing that struck me, and maybe it's fine, you know, the one thing that did struck me is that the headroom wasn't great. So I sat in one with the sunroof, which usually tends to rob you of headroom, and I sat with one without the sunroof, and it's got this kind of weird scalloped kind of like roof liner that like seems to come down too far from where the roof of the thing is.
That was really strange. Do you think it's a prototype thing?
It's a prototype. I don't know. I asked the chief engineer about it. He said he's going to check into it for us. But yeah, headroom was tight. Having said that, the space behind the second row seemed very much bigger than the current one.
The cargo volume is huge.
Yeah, but having said that, if you get the hybrid,
you lose a big portion of the floor.
Probably like 3 inches.
Yeah.
It's 3 inches.
Off the floor, basically.
Off the floor, because that's where the battery lives. So once again, hybrid, better fuel economy, certainly more torque.
Maybe in the city.
Yeah, certainly more horsepower, but less usable room.
Less space.
Okay, let's talk about kind of the goodies that it comes with. So you've got a picture of the
TRD Pro.
TRD Pro, and once again, identical to the Tacoma.
Identical switch gear, so you still have the rear locker.
Yep.
You have the disconnectable front sway bar.
Which is new.
For the new Tacoma and the 4Runner.
Yeah, now competing head-to-head with the Wrangler.
Exactly, which is cool. Well, no front locker in this, technically, but they do have their fancy traction control system.
Which Bronco and Wrangler have, of course, triple locked. This is going to be double locked.
By the way, dude, you and I were kind of in a rush, right, when we saw the 4Runner.
We had 40 minutes, and we had a film. And the sun was in our eyes. I was not a happy camper, Andre. I mean, I'm going to address this. I talked to Toyota about this, but they gave everybody like 40-minute slots to film it, except, of course, for our competitors who apparently got the vehicle for as long as they wanted.
Days ahead.
Yeah, so I'm talking about Throttle House. Congratulations. Doug DeMiro, congratulations. And Dona Media. And we got it. At exactly
5 p.m.
sunset. So I was walking up to the truck, and the sun was like, you know, in the Second World War, when they would attack at like sunrise or sunset and come out of the sun because you can't see, right? You're blinded. And I was walking up to the trucks, and I could not tell what they were. And I was like, I was like, okay, I get, Toyota, you can pick who you give exclusive access to, but there were a lot of print people there that didn't even use their time slots.
Right.
And arguably, we had the time slot that was unfilmable. I mean, if you look, there are a lot of comments about our videos. We had to film them from the butt end first because those were the ones facing into the sun.
Sure.
But we couldn't film it from the front, which is ideally what you want to do, right? You want to have the sun in front of the vehicle
and
lighting
feature it
up.
It first.
Yeah. And the reason I couldn't see the truck was because it was casting like 6-foot shadows. So yes. I'm done ranting. Anyway,
okay.
Let's talk.
But what I did mean, where I started was, we were rushed, and I didn't think of this when we were there. But you know the KDSS system,
yeah,
kinetic dynamic suspension system, which is basically this kind of dynamic, hydraulically driven suspension system that you can get the current 4Runner with, and also comes on some of the Lexus SUVs as well. That's no longer here. So some people may miss it, but I don't know if I will necessarily miss it because I don't miss it in our new Tacoma. Our new Tacoma, of course, doesn't have it. And if you have a disconnectable front sway bar and if you have, the rear locker, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, and if you love that, get the GX, which
has if you do love it.
And there's a new improved version of it in the GX, which actually connects the front and rear wheels, so it's supposedly better.
But of course, the GX is way more expensive. We'll talk about
We'll talk about the pricing. So the other cool feature of this new vehicle is that it's got these little LED headlights, running lights, right? And you can change colors.
Yep. So just like on the Trailhunter Tacoma, the front fogs can be either yellow or white light. Also, the TRD Pro 4Runner gets that light bar, right? The additional light bar. So you can, by the way, it's really bright. Even the Trailhunter has it as well. It's super bright because they unveiled it on the beach.
Yeah.
We were also there for that in San Diego. And it was dark. It was sunset. The sun set. They unveiled it. And then somebody turned on the lights. And I was blinded. I was standing there and I couldn't see anything.
Yeah. So let's talk about the difference between the Trailhunter and the TRD Pro. There's two immediate differences that will strike you. So the Trailhunter has a desert air intake. And it's not... So it doesn't call it a snorkel because it doesn't actually change the water fording height of the vehicle. Whereas the TRD Pro has a fake hood scoop.
Yeah.
So immediately. I would rather do the Trailhunter too, yeah. Yeah.
Not just because of the snorkel, raised air intake.
Yeah.
First of all, I love the new color, the featured color.
It's
beautiful green. Also, Old Man Emu technology on shocks.
You get the compressor.
You get the compressor. You get the skid plates, additional skid plates, and the rock sliders, really beefy.
So the way Toyota defines, I think, the difference between the two is the Trailhunter is the overlanding rig, right?
Slowish kind of crawling, crawler.
Yeah. Whereas the TRD Pro would be the more high desert runner. So it depends what you really want. Do you get those funky seats, the isodynamic seats?
We didn't see it in the prototype.
So it might be Tacoma only. Yeah, you might, which is probably good because you lose a lot of space in the back seat when you put those on.
Yeah, the isodynamic seats are basically kind of a damped seats with dampers, which we still, the jury is still out what we think about that.
I love those bronze wheels. What size wheels and tires are we looking at?
So Trailhunter and the Pro, they have this 18-inch wheel and also the 33-inch tall tire. And that's as big as it gets. By the way, a lot of the different trims of the 4Runner and also the Tacoma have different tire options. For example, the Trailhunter was shown with Toyo tires, these open country AT3s. We also saw some other manufacturer tires. So they really select their tire packages for each trim very specifically.
And they also change the kind of rock sliders or steps that you have. So in the Trailhunter, you get more of a kind of, it looks kind of steppy.
Tubular.
And it's also, I think, connected to the frame, which is nice. Whereas in the TRD Pro, it's kind of tucked in, underneath
the door.
And attached to the body, yeah. So it's more, more for rock crawling and less for... And then I think, if I remember right, the Limited had deployable steps, right?
Yeah, power steps.
Power steps, yeah. So yeah. The City Slicker had the ones, that...
And by the way, the City Slicker Limited 4Runner also had those 20-inch wheels.
Yeah, bigger the wheel, the less sidewall. I think... People have now on the Tacoma gone to 34s or maybe even 35s with some rubbing. So if you're thinking about lifting it, I'm sure there'll be lift kits. It's not a solid axle vehicle like a Wrangler.
Or the Grenadier.
Yeah, so it's a little bit tougher to lift, but there'll be people who will figure it out.
Well, already, you know, Tacoma has been out, 2 months on sale?
Their lift's on it for
And me. Already, you know, people are lifting them. I saw a gentleman near where I live in Thornton with a lifted Tacoma, the new one.
Yeah.
And it looked really amazing.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, bigger tires always look better.
Yeah, it looks almost like a toy, right? Like a big Tonka.
Yeah.
Of course, we're looking at a Limited right now.
Which you probably won't want to lift. And then, of course, you know, I think, you know, you get skid plates on the TRD Pro and on the Trail Hunter. On the Limited, you get that big, like, chin spoiler, right?
For efficiency.
Meant to get rid of fuel economy.
Yep.
Are you showing anything that you shouldn't be showing on the screen there, Andre?
No, okay, I'm looking for more images.
All right, good.
Yeah, no, this is not, I'm not showing, like, part of our inner workings of our business
Good. Just want to make sure we're not, we're not giving all of our secrets away. Not that we have a lot of secrets to give away. All right. Any other kind of first impressions that you had after having spent, you know, some time with it, crawling through it?
Yeah, I wanted to mention this. I wanted to say that when we were first dreaming about the next 4Runner, one of my dreams, and this was wild, and I knew it was a very low chance of happening, I wanted, like, removable roof panels. I wanted some sort of convertibility potential, because the Wrangler has it. The Bronco has it, you know, kind of a top-down, doors-off type feeling. Of course, 4Runner, as we see it now, is more traditional. It has standard doors, standard sunroof, nothing like that, which makes me wonder, how does it fit into not just Toyota's lineup, but also against competition?
Yeah. And was I hallucinating, or did that Trail Hunter have a brake controller, actually?
No, it did have it.
It did have a brake controller, yeah.
So thank you, cool. Toyota, for including that, because 6,000 pounds is a serious trailer.
Yeah,
I mean,
in Colorado, for instance, and it's different in California, you can't tow anything above 3,000 without a brake controller, nor should you unless you want to die.
Yeah, because you really want to control the weight, because the vehicle brakes are only good enough for the vehicle, not for a huge trailer that you're towing behind it.
Or boat.
So, yeah, exactly. That's really important, and I'm glad Toyota has that included as well.
All right, well, let's talk about the competition, like you said. So before we talk about the competition, that was quite the segue, let's talk about Toyota's lineup. So off-roady wise, I guess the first entry-level vehicle would be the RAV4 Adventure.
Yeah, and there's also the RAV4 TRD off-road.
But we're kind of going to put those aside because they don't have a low range. And anything without a low range is basically just a light off-roader.
And also the ground clearance on the RAV4, I mean, even though the all-wheel drive system may be pretty good, the ground clearance is what kills you, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Off-road.
Do we know the ground clearance? Did they give us the specs on the 4?
Yeah, it was like just over 9 inches. Mm. So not class leading.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, a Subaru's got that.
But still, okay.
All right.
Okay.
So in the Toyota lineup, the first off-roady one you get to is the RAV4 Adventure or TRD. And then if you want to go more seriously off-road and more, bigger family vehicle, you would go for the 4Runner. And like I said, the nice thing about this 4-cylinder turbo in the Tacoma is it gets much better fuel economy, and especially that 5-speed with that ancient V6, right? I think it's going to be a staggering number. Not staggering for modern times, but staggering from what it was to what it is.
From before, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happened with the Sequoia, right? When the Sequoia came out last year, it wasn't dramatically better than all the competitors, but it was way better than the previous Sequoia.
Yeah.
So they improved themselves, basically.
So I'm sure you're looking at, you know, 20-plus MPG.
Yeah, combined.
Which will be great. And then here's a big two-letter word, Land Cruiser.
Well, here it is. It's on their website. So Toyota.com. I'm right here. The Land Cruiser is also hitting the market, actually, before the new 4Runner. So the Land Cruiser is supposed to come out next month.
Yeah.
Into customers' hands.
The 4Runner won't be here till
like fall.
Fall, yeah. Till the end of the year. So, so the Land Cruiser comes out first, and it comes in basically three models, right? There's the base model, which is the 1958.
Yep.
Then, the one that they liked it so much they said it twice.
Land Cruiser or Land Cruiser?
Right. That's the...
I don't understand that.
And then there's the first edition.
Yep.
But we spec that out, and that's $70-some-thousand, $74,000?
Yeah, the first edition starts at 74.9.
Yeah.
So That's into Lexus territory by then.
That's GX territory. What does the 1958 start at?
So the 1958, this is the base Land Cruiser, and it's only available in like three colors, black, white, and gray, 55.9. So like for 56 or 57 grand, including destination, you can get yourself into the Land Cruiser.
Yeah. So basically, you're going to have a choice of, do you want an upper-level 4Runner or do you want...
Because like I said, the current 4Runner ends at 56.
Yeah.
So if the new 4Runner, might cross that bridge, right? But we got to talk about the styling on the Land Cruiser, because at least in 1958 with that round lights, it's really has a lot of classic character to it.
Yeah, it's weird because like in the Land Cruiser, you can get round lights in the base model and you can get round lights in the first edition, but you can't get round lights in the Land Cruiser.
Yes.
So the cheapest one and the most expensive one, you can get round lights.
And by the way, Land Cruiser EPA numbers are in 22 city, 25 highway. So those are pretty decent numbers
for... it's a different engine.
A hybrid. Yeah. But it's a 2.4 hybrid.
Yeah.
It's not a V6.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the V6 a little bit later.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, since the 4Runner is a little bit close to it in size, that the 4Runner hybrid may have the similar efficiency numbers.
I think that's a good guess.
Yeah.
And is it true that the TRD Pro and the Trail Hunter only will come as a hybrid in the 4Runner?
We don't know that specifically, but we know that for the Tacoma.
Yes.
Okay. Tacoma, Toyota already publicly said that if you're buying a TRD Pro Tacoma or the Trail Hunter Tacoma, only hybrid is available.
So that might be the same for...
It might be the same for the 4Runner.
Yeah.
Which,
if you want the upper trim.
Which kind of limits your choices to an extent.
And here's the other thing that makes this a little tricky. So the way Toyota works is they build their cars and then they assign them to dealers, but you can't really like order a car. So
not at first.
Well, never, because there's no. I mean, the dealer can trade for whatever you want, but they can't go to like corporate and say, "Hey, build me this one." Ineos, like the Ineos, you can go on their website and you can order it. You can spec it out exactly. And then your name gets placed on it. They build it for you.
You could do it with Fords too.
You could do it with
Or other vehicles as well.
But you can't do it with Toyota.
Right.
So
but the way they explain it to us also is that it's regional, right? They have like the Gulf regions, right?
Sure.
It's down south and Texas and those states. And we have the Rocky Mountain region, which is ours. And we have, you know, the California region or other northeastern
regions. I'm just saying
regions.
That because you're on the configurator, but it gives you the impression that you can configure one exactly to your taste, but you really can't.
Yes, and I think it's regions-based, and maybe they told us that they take dealership input into account, but to an extent. Like you said, if you want to mix and match colors, if you want to mix and match options, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, so the question is, and maybe this is good for Toyota, right? So the reason that the TRD Pros and now Trail Hunters have become so expensive is they control the amount of volume. In other words, they control the amount of production. Just like Mercedes does with the G-Wagon, right? And so that's a great way for Toyota to keep the price value high because they can only build
as many as they want to,
and let's Ford does it too, right? I think I want to say
with
that
Raptors and all that
Ranger
stuff.
Raptors, yeah. Each dealer's assigned, if they're lucky, one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is insane.
Yeah. Exactly.
So here's my rub on the Land Cruiser. We can't really talk about driving impressions yet on the Land Cruiser, even though you and I have driving impressions. But looking at the pictures of it and looking at it in person, the tires are look pretty small.
And by the way, that video comes out right after you listen to this.
Yeah, so on Tuesday the 16th, April 16th, you'll be able to actually watch our full review of the Land Cruiser.
Yeah, off-road review. So I can't wait to publish that video, actually. And we did
the comparison.
Yeah, we did a comparison, as is our way. All right.
But I think it needs bigger tires, my friend.
They all need bigger tires.
No, but specifically this. I mean, it looks...
And you know what's interesting? The Toyota doesn't give you an option for bigger tires. Why are they leaving that much money on the table? On the table, because, you know, that's just going to give people like Toy Tech here in Denver the opportunity to lift them and bigger tire them, right? Because I'm sure the first thing people will do once they get there is they're going to pull those wheels and tires off and go to a bigger set. I think on the TRD Pro and Trail Hunter versions of the 4Runner, the tires look are beefy on this one. And there's no TRD Pro or Trail Hunter. Not that it's not, there might be coming.
Yeah, the Land Cruiser is that just like you said, three versions of it. None of them have super aggressive tires. So that's kind of where we are.
So they did have the program for the Land Cruiser in the UK.
Yeah.
And I was watching the videos coming out of the UK. They were up in Scotland. But they get the diesel.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, they get a diesel Land Cruiser.
Holy cow.
Yeah, we don't get a diesel.
No, definitely not.
But it was funny. I was watching the videos, and they seemed to be more concerned about, like, people using them as style signalers for the fact that they're off-roady and not actually going off-road with them. So they were like more like, this is so off-roady looking. I wonder if people in London will use it to, you know, to cruise around.
Well, they don't have a lot of public land, if at all.
I know. So they have no place to really go off-road, whereas we have tons of it. And, of course, they immediately compared it to the Defender.
Well, it has a really upright windscreen, right?
Yeah.
The 4Runner is a little bit more kind of smoothed out and a little bit more raked.
So look with – oh, God, there's so many choices. So, you know, I think that the people who, you know, are looking at Defenders will now cross-shop it against the GX and the Land Cruiser and maybe even potentially the 4Runner. I could see somebody who, like, has a Defender saying to themselves, you know, I can get myself a Trail Hunter for less money and have that kind of same off-road ability that I'm getting in the Defender, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other thing we should talk about is Toyota builds a lot of Land Cruiser. If you're listening to this outside of the U.S., they built a lot of different Land Cruisers.
Oh, my gosh, the Australian market and our viewers and listeners from Australia, you guys get so much choice. There's a new 70 series.
Yeah.
Traditional. Like
a 250.
300.
Yeah.
You get so many different versions of the Land Cruiser.
We get the Land Cruiser.
So nice.
So good. So nice. They named it twice.
There you have it.
All right. Let's bring the conversation back to the
Lexus.
We could talk about the GX. We've driven that.
Well, you started the conversation.
All right. Let's talk about the GX. Okay. Might as well, because somebody may cross up a 4Runner with a GX.
Or a Land Cruiser with a GX.
Or Land Cruiser. So the 4Runner to me is a little bit more youthful. It's a little bit more like rakish and sporty. Of course, it's got the four-cylinder versus the GX's six-cylinder. It's certainly not as luxurious. The issue with the GX, and I said this in a video, and Nathan and Tommy completely disagreed with me, but the GX is in a way too precious to actually off-road right away. And I know, I mean, we're talking about off-roading because that's what we do, and most people won't go off-road. But the reason you buy the thing is because it's got this off-road image and it's got the off-road goodies that it can go off-road. And to me, it just seems too nice to put in harm's way. Whereas the 4Runner just seems more like, you know, it's like Carhartt versus, I don't know.
Carhartt pants versus?
Like Gucci or something. I don't buy expensive pants. So I don't know who. Lululemon maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if there is such a great difference between them, though. I mean, looking at the GX, yes, it's more a little bit more expensive, but and it does look kind of like a nicer suit.
Yeah, right? KDSS.
It has
two more cylinders.
It's got a V6. It's got a twin turbo.
Yeah.
So it's got more power, more towing. Dude, they increased the towing on the GX.
8,500, I want to say, or 9,000.
Up to 9,000 on certain models.
Yeah, I know.
And the Land Cruiser and the 4Runner are rated at 6,000 because the Sequoia is still there, right? And
Sequoia, we forgot about the Sequoia. Oh my God!
How can we forget about the Sequoia?
Yeah.
Let's get back to it.
By the way, Doug just bought a Sequoia.
Yes, I know.
We bought a Tacoma. We didn't get more time. Maybe we didn't spend enough money.
Well, Sequoia costs more.
Yeah, maybe if we had spent more money.
So really briefly, I want to ignore this.
Andre's ignoring it on purpose.
the GX 550, the new one, starts at 66,000.
Uh-huh.
So and 60, those are, 65.
And those are hitting the dealerships as we speak. Also built in Japan. Here's something cool I learned.
Yeah.
Anything built in Japan, and that includes a 4Runner, right? They ship it from Japan to California.
Okay.
And then the vehicles propagate through the U.S., starting in the west and moving east.
Okay.
So if you're jonesing for a 4Runner or a GX.
Move to Los Angeles.
Get them. Yeah. Call the dealers on the west coast. Yeah. So like, you know, Oregon, Seattle, California.
Yeah.
Because they'll have them first before they can train the trucks you know, to Chicago and New York and Miami and all the other places. So if you really want one, if you're like, hey, I got to have the latest 4Runner, or in this case, Land Cruiser, which is, you know, coming soon, very soon, look in California for one.
That's a good tip.
And then, of course, you have to pay over sticker.
We learned we have to go to Texas for a Tacoma.
Yeah.
Because they're built in Mexico and they're trickling up from the south. Right?
Look, I think the Sequoia kind of lives in a different space. Let's face it. It's basically a very tall
Tundra with a wagon.
It's a station wagon, right? I don't know how many people are cross-shopping that with, like, and it is off-road capable. I got to say, we took it off-road. I wasn't impressed, Andre. I felt like the thing wasn't happy.
It's missing ground clearance once again.
It was horribly low on ground clearance. We had the hybrid, right? So the battery stuck down. We took it to Moab. Remember we went up Hurrah Pass?
That was the Pro even.
That was the Pro.
That was the Tier D Pro.
And I was like, let's not do this. It just didn't, you know,
I was trying to channel Ivan Iron Man Stewart.
You were.
And you were being nervous.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that because of me? Or because you...
I've driven with Ivan Iron Man Stewart, and I was nervous when I was with him. The dude is fast.
Well, I wasn't quite that fast.
No.
Anyways, the Sequoia is a three-row SUV. By the way...
It's a family hauler.
And it will tow great because it's heavier, it's larger.
With limited legroom because the battery lives under there.
Yeah, it's rated for towing a heavier load. That's about 9,000 pounds, maybe just over that. And the third row in the Sequoia is not great, like you said, because not quite as much room as like a Tahoe if you're looking at a large SUV.
Anything that's three rows.
Yeah.
I haven't done the measurements, but I'm almost 99% certain that the Grand Highlander has more third row room than the...
It might.
It might, yeah.
Because the Grand Highlander has that independent suspension in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
The Sequoia has a solid axle in the back. Yeah. So the Sequoia is in this interesting space, but they are being successful. They're selling quite a few more than before. They're built in Texas, so all the Sequoias are now built in San Antonio alongside the Tundra. So it's made in Texas.
All right, well, let's finish up in the last few minutes that we have back on the 4Runner where we started from. And I'll give you my impressions, not having driven it. But if you're asking me which one would I buy if we were ordering one, and we're probably not going to buy one. We've kind of spent all of our cash at the beginning of the year already. We bought the Ineos, we bought the Ranger Raptor, we bought the Tacoma, and, you know, we're not Edmonds. They have much more money than we do.
And we're not Consumer Reports, unfortunately.
We're not Consumer Reports. Yeah, once again, they have much more money than we do. And we're not apparently Strandman. He has much more money.
He does.
Bugattis, yeah, as well, which is fine. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you know, we'd rather spend our money on kind of, we bought a Mustang too. We had to buy one car.
Well, we can't forget about our car channel.
Yeah, we can't. One car.
Okay.
The problem with all these expensive ones is I keep thinking to myself, you know, you could buy like two cars for the price of
one truck.
One truck, yeah. And that's weird because the trucks once upon a time were less expensive.
The reverse of that.
Yeah, so what I would say, and you're showing the interior, get yourself a Trail Hunter because, look, it's got the bigger screen. It's got the bigger volume knob, which is nice. Ours is a little tiny volume knob. Yeah. Love that. Like, I think it called it Java interior, the coffee-colored interior. Uh-huh. I would go for that. I go for the one we saw with that kind of cool.
And the green exterior, right?
The green exterior. You'll get the compressor.
Oops. Sorry, I'm trying to find your 4Runner.
My dream 4Runner. You'll get the compressor. But my only problem with that, Andre, is I think I'm so happy with the Tacoma engine, I don't know if I actually want the hybrid. I don't know.
So like a Trail Hunter, but the non-hybrid one.
Yeah, it's got so much torque and so much horsepower, I feel like you don't need more. Maybe I would do the same thing we did, which is everything you need, nothing you don't. So maybe get a TRD off-road.
4Runner,
and then you can get that, and then build out the bigger tires.
You know, Sheldon Brown, the chief engineer of Tacoma, told us that at least on the Tacoma side, the rock sliders are interchangeable.
Yeah.
You could always add those later.
Can't add the snorkel.
You could always cut your fender. Why not?
Yeah, that's scary. But remember when we did that with our 200 series Land Cruiser?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that was we built out.
Were chewing your nails, I think.
Yeah, we built out the 200 series TRD Pro, which didn't exist. We built our own, and we had to cut the snorkel. And I was not very...
You let the professionals do it.
I know, but still, cutting into that fender, one, because I know what I would do. If I cut the fender off,
the hole would be zigzagged or something.
It would look like it had been eaten by termites.
So
all these pilot holes drilled everywhere in the wrong place.
So the point is, if you're building your own Trail Hunters, let's say you bought a TRD Off-Road, it may be difficult because you probably won't be able to get the light bar installed.
This is, I think I just have to live with the hybrid. I think, yeah, it'll be
difficult to do.
Here's the thing we've found out. If you go and take it to our friends at Toy Tech or wherever you go, it's going to cost you as much, if not more, to do
as
it yourself.
As a factory,
and you won't have a warranty.
Well, you might have a warranty on the parts.
You won't have a factory warranty. And can I give you another secret?
What?
When you start messing with the geometry, the ride doesn't get better. It doesn't. It makes it better off-road.
No. Well, because Toyota has $1 billion budget to develop this. Yeah. And a company in Denver does not have $1 billion.
Yeah. So, I love cool-looking aftermarket lifted trucks. But, you know, the best thing that happens is you can make it really good off-road, but you're going to pay the price
really crappy on
road. Yeah. I have yet to see an aftermarket installation that didn't somehow compromise the steering and the ride and the towing.
But you know what?
The only one we did was, remember when we lifted that Gladiator?
That was great. That was Mopar.
Yeah, so we got a Mopar lift that the dealer installed. And I'm not trying to promote dealers. I'm not trying not to promote dealers, but Johnson's, who I would love to promote, did an incredible job installing that. And that truck actually rode better.
On-road and off-road.
Off-road, looked better.
Yes.
And perform better with that lift.
Maybe this is for another podcast, another subject, but new vehicles like the new 4Runner and others, including the Raptor, they're getting more and more difficult to accessorize and upgrade, right? If you wanted to tune it, gosh help you, because a lot of the computers are locked down from the factory, right?
Andre, if you want to add like something simple, let's say even... another light like the Raptor Ranger we just bought has auxiliary lights.
Yes.
But let's say that you bought a 4Runner without a trailer hitch, but no
brake controller.
No brake controller, and you wanted to go wire that in. The computer would be very unhappy. you would get all kinds of lights.
You would have to probably get access through a dealer. You know, dealer has to
like the U-Haul guy can't just like snip and then put the little, you know, like even the taillights, right? So that the trail lights come on, you can't like even cut into those without the computer being very unhappy.
Right. And then when you lift a vehicle, you affect everything. The radar for the cruise control system, you're affecting the lights.
Autonomous braking.
Cameras are no longer working properly, right?
We know about that.
Yes, that's a different subject. But what I'm saying is they're getting more and more difficult to upgrade and update and accessorize. So, but Toyota, remember how on the Tundra they did a factory lift kit?
Yeah.
Approved by TRD. They did this. They're not doing the same thing on the Tacoma. I'm hoping they can extend it to the 4Runner.
Hey, how about those days when they did a supercharged Tacoma?
Ooh.
No, sorry, Tundra.
Yeah, both.
That's right.
Yeah, Tundra and then Tacoma.
Yeah, those days are gone.
You don't think they're going to supercharge this?
No, electrification. No, those days when you were wrenching on it. Look, I'm very pragmatic. I love, you know, this idea of the shade tree mechanic, right, in the 1970s. That was wonderful. You could make bigger carburetors, but we're getting to the point now where those days are over. This thing is so technical. I mean, there's so many computers and there's so much code.
And they're talking to each other constantly.
Yeah, that, you know, to get the best fuel economy that... You know, if you want to dig into your own, get the first 4 gens, maybe the first 5 gens. This is 5th, right? This is number 5.
This is 6.
Okay, so maybe the first 5 gen. This one's going
to
be very
hard. It's getting to a point where it's a really computerized vehicle.
Yeah, unless you have a shop, and even then you're probably going to avoid the warranty because, you know, they can read the code. The Toyota dealer can read the code.
Well, you have to be approved shop. Mm. Like Whipple is currently building superchargers for Chevys and Fords, right? But they have blessing from Ford and Chevy.
Yeah, and it's
warranted. Because they're integrated and they're warranted and they're doing all these things together.
But I would even say that 5-liter Coyote that we have in the Mustang, right, has always been more superchargeable than this engine. Anyway, which would you buy? If it were your money, which Toyota 4Runner would you get?
Well, you know me, if you looked at what the last two trucks I bought, which were the most basic ones,
sure,
I probably wouldn't be able to afford something, you know, really, really fancy personally. Or maybe not just not being able to afford to, but I can't justify it, right? So I would probably go for something more simple, but of course I need a hitch, I need a brake controller, I need four-wheel drive, of course, and I would like bigger tires
Do they make a two-wheel drive Forerunner even?
I think there will be one.
Yeah, because there's a two-wheel drive Tacoma.
Yes,
yeah.
And there will be a two-wheel drive Forerunner, I believe.
There you go, yeah.
But like, I don't know if the Land Cruiser will come two-wheel drive.
We were kind of whining about, you know, four-wheel drive versus all-wheel drive. That's
what you do. You buy a Land Cruiser.
Which is all-wheel drive.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
maybe that's why they didn't put it. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, to differentiate the two.
Yeah. Crafty,
okay.
Toyota.
Okay.
Crafty.
So anyways, I would probably buy like an SR5 or a Tier D off-road.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, let's face it, SR5 is where it's at. For most people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of the
What Grant did. I mean, he bought an SR5
and then he built it up
to himself. But once again, we just talked about not being able to build it up yourself.
He might be selling because he built it up, because of the fuel economy.
Oh, he wants to sell it now?
He might be, yeah. Because you put like big tires on it.
And heavy bumpers.
And a big lift. You're going to get, you know, that's just what happens.
You're going to get dinged on fuel efficiency.
Not dinged. You're going to get... Shanked. Well, I think on that, guys.
On that note,
we'll leave it. Check out alltfl.com if you want to see our Land Cruiser review. We've got more stuff coming from the Toyota program. Thank you, Toyota, for the kind invite. We appreciate it. And just next time, don't give us the time slot when the sun's going down.
It wasn't the golden hour.
It would have been a golden hour had the trucks been facing the other way. And then, well, why didn't we spin them the other way? Because we had 20 minutes and that would have taken 2 hours. Yeah. You know how that is.
Yeah.
And
appreciate it.
Thank you guys for watching, and thank you for listening. And we shall see you next time. Ciao.
Thank you.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.